And what I wanted to say is that this country was forged in warfare, watered by the blood of patriots. And in every war, driven by the economic engine of this country. And today, we are again in warfare, this time against an invisible enemy. The COVID pandemic. But make no mistake, it is warfare. And in any warfare, people will die. Today, the number of people infected with the virus worldwide is 11.6 million. 11.6 million. With over 500,000 dead worldwide. The increase yesterday was about 211,000 worldwide. 211,000 worldwide. That means in 5 days, they'll hit another million. Of the approximately 200,000 new cases worldwide, about one quarter of that total was in the United States, 45,000. The U.S. had hit over 50,000 for, I believe, 4 days in a row, and on the fifth day, which was July 4th, it went on to 45,000. More than likely because of delays in reporting because of the holiday. 50,000 per day. That's a lot. The situation today in the United States is, for you and for me, is actually more dangerous than at the beginning. I remember in the middle of April, the experts were concerned that the number of deaths in the U.S. might hit 40,000. 40,000. Today we are at 132,000. 132,000. Now if we look over the last 4 days, 5 days, let's take 4 days, 50,000 per day times four, that's 200,000 new cases in the last 4 days. Forget all the others. Forget the ones that cause the 50,000 per day. Just look at the 200,000 new in the last 4 days, new cases. They will, on the average, if the virus were left to itself without lockdown and other prevention measures, they, on the average, would infect two. So the 50,000, I'm sorry, the 50,000 times four is 200,000. The 200,000 would infect 400,000. The 400,000 would infect 800,000. 800,000. And that's not looking at all the other ones that created the 50,000 per day. That's what would happen without the safety measures that we're taking. What I want to stress here is that we are in a warfare. And make no doubt about it. And in this warfare, as I taught recently, the frontline troops are not the first responders. The first responders are wonderful, valiant, doing a wonderful job, and many of them have died, showing that lots of people who are in their prime can die because of this pandemic. But in this warfare, the people who are most vulnerable, the ones who are most likely to die from the warfare, are the ones over 50 years old. From the time they hit 50 upwards, the probability of dying increases exponentially. Exponentially. from 50 years up. So we have to, sooner or later, reopen the economy. And the trade-off in opening the economy, the more we open the economy, it's the most likely that people are going to die. And the frontline troops, the ones that are most likely to die in this warfare, are those over 50. So we're in a warfare for this country, actually at many levels. Spiritually, we're in a warfare for this country. Medically, we're in a warfare fighting this pandemic. And there are other battlefronts going on. We, as serious believers, need to focus on the fact that we are not just frontline troops who are the most vulnerable. We are also the most potent. We are the generation, those around 60 and 70, the older seniors, is the generation that was alive when Israel was reborn. And the scriptures say that generation that sees the rebirth of Israel, that generation shall not pass away before Jesus returns, before the Messiah comes. The devil knows that, and he wants that generation to pass away. And this pandemic is one attempt to remove the boomers. Because the boomers grew up with prayer in schools. And they grew up knowing this as a Christian country. And they grew up knowing that our money says, in God we trust. This is a country that was founded on religious freedom. This was a country founded by most of the people believed in God, some ardent believers, the way we would see it. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time for us who grew up with the luxury of having prayer in school, who grew up knowing Jesus Christ, who grew up knowing how to pray, that we start a prayer and take our country back. Not for political reasons and not for one politician or another, but take it back for God with prayer. With prayers guided by the Holy Spirit. Because no matter how good these politicians are and no matter how bad they are, we know they're not perfect, and neither was you and neither was I when we got saved. If God can do a work in me and if God can do a work in you, He can do a work in these politicians. So let's become a people, an army of prayer warriors to change the course of this country. Let's take it back from the enemy. Let's take it back from the devil. Let's take it back by realizing you're in warfare. And the most visible warfare right now is the warfare against the invisible enemy. And you want to understand that when you and I first went into this pandemic, we were alert to what the changes were. God had us learn it, and God had us prepare a lifestyle that's acceptable within the pandemic. God had me focus for months learning it so I could tell us all what to do, so you could direct us what to do. Today is more dangerous than when we first got started. There are more people around who are infected. And I want to flag something. I sent out a distribution 16 some weeks ago. And if you're not on our distribution list, you should be. Get a hold of me. Let's make sure you're on the list, because we get this information out because it's important and it needs to go out in a hurry. We can get it out in minutes. In distribution 16, talked about the World Health Organization saying that being infected by somebody who is asymptomatic, being infected by somebody who is not showing symptoms, is rare. And I responded back, unfortunately, in English, not in American. And I know it's kind of humorous, but I'm absolutely serious. I use the expression in the first paragraph. I take this with great reservation. When you see an English person, English background person, a Canadian, an Englishman, use an expression, grave reservation or great reservation, you know that they're trying to be very polite to explain a great conflict. In American, in brash, brazen, blunt American English, I might have said, the person who wrote this is ignorant of the facts, stupid, or deceitful. That's what grave reservation means in blunt English. No, I don't think anybody at the World Health Organization is ignorant of the facts, nor do I think they're stupid. But I do think it was coined in very political terms, which I said that it seemed to be written more from a perspective, a political perspective, a perspective of trying to help the countries restart their economies. And the one item they use to say that they have several reports from multiple countries showing that it's rare is a scientifically meaningless statement. I actually said that in there. So the entire purpose of distribution 16 was to say, ignore what they're saying and continue to understand that people who are asymptomatic can still get you infected. It's still true. Just this week, I saw a health expert saying something I've said all along. You want to treat everybody outside your household as a potential source of infection. You want to be locked down now even more than you were at the beginning because there are more possibilities out there of people infecting you. And more people are becoming impatient, and you don't want to copy them. You want to realize you're a soldier. You're locked in warfare, and your fort right now is your home. The more time you spend in your home, the more time you have for prayer, the more time you have to practice being content, and the more time you have to be patient and to grow impatient. If you can have your goals and your sights set on what's important, which is to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, which is that this has been a wonderful country, and today this country needs a lot of prayer. And you and I, and people who think like us, and who know how to pray like us, we're the ones that can do a lot for this country. We are in the forefront of the warfare for this country, whether or not you like it. The question is, are you going to stay home and complain? Are you going to go out and copy them and not wear your mask? Are you going to wear your mask, practice social distancing, and understand based on distribution 22, the last distribution? For those of you who haven't read it, it says that 239 scientists in 32 countries are, on this coming Wednesday, publishing an open letter in a scientific journal with the effort of getting the CDC and the World Health Organization to change their position concerning aerosol infection. We all know about person-to-person infection that comes through coughing and saliva and sneezing. But that which comes out through just breathing and talking, the aerosol, the microscopic particles, can remain in the air for up to hours and can move at the very least dozens and dozens of feet. One report I read some time ago, two or three months ago, said it could go as far as 100, I believe it was 100 yards, but it was at least 100 feet. So when you leave your house, put your mask on. You say there's nobody around? Well, if you're in your property, then you don't need the mask. If you're going outside, how do you know somebody didn't pass by there 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, leaving a trail behind them? You don't know. Do you want to risk your life on that? It's your life. It's up to you to risk it. Is the inconvenience of wearing a mask so bad that you'd rather take that risk? Your choice. I'm saying, for those of you who want to do something serious in these end times, let's start doing it now by becoming the prayer warriors we've been trained to be and praying for this country and taking back our country. Just like the warfare we had this morning, we had a setback. We lost the system. First time ever. What a coincidence. Just when I'm getting up to speak this, we lost the system for the first time ever. You think it's a coincidence? I don't think it's a coincidence. I think we're involved in spiritual warfare all the time. I think the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And you and I succeed because in our patience, we possess our souls. And patience is not copying what the rest of the people do. We don't agree with the majority of the people in this country on their beliefs about God and Jesus Christ. We don't. Why should we want to agree with them with their concept of not wearing masks? And that 6 foot social distancing is okay? It's not. 6 foot social distancing is arbitrary. They had to choose something. And they've made a choice. They have to reopen the economy. And they're making choices to reopen it. And whether they know the truth or whether they don't know the truth, they have to make decisions to get the country moving. But go into it with your eyes wide open. If you want to go to a restaurant, where there's 6 feet social distancing without your mask and eat, that's your choice. Me? I don't think I want to risk my life for a meal. I don't think so. I don't think I want to risk my life to spend an hour and a half chatting with one or two people. I don't think I want to risk my life based on the fact that when the utensils came from the kitchen or the plate or the food, the people in there were practicing good hygiene and weren't sneezing over the food and don't have COVID-19, asymptomatically, or even symptomatically. We all have to make these choices. Nobody can make them for you. That is why nobody can have you remain and be alive when Jesus returns except yourself. I'm just saying this. When we got started, you were all locked down pretty well, and you were all taking it seriously. I'm saying it's more important to take it seriously now than it was at the beginning. At the beginning, you know, when there were a few, dozens or hundreds or thousands cases across the country, the probability of running into a person was very low. Today, there are 3 million infected people that we know about. So, I wanted to say that. I want to say, be sure you're on the distribution list. Be sure you understand what I said in distribution 16 and distribution 22. People who have no symptoms can infect others. And distribution 22, aerosol transmission and infection through breathing and talking. Examples, I close with examples. The choir in Washington. We have the 61 people in the choir. Only 8 were not infected. 2 died. A restaurant in Wuhan, practicing all the rules, and they all got infected. An apartment building in Wuhan, everybody locked down in their apartments, and they got it anyway, came through the ventilation system. A hotel in Hong Kong, this was actually on the SARS, and not under this particular virus, but the same principle. Under SARS, the whole hotel people got infected. And there are other cases. So, understand that infection by contact, infection by respiratory, sneezing, coughing, are real. So is infection just by talking, just by breathing, infection is spread. And if the person is asymptomatic, you have no way of knowing. Treat everybody you meet as if they were a source of infection. That's what I'm doing. When I go out, I wear my mask. I go out walking at 6 in the morning, 5:30, 6:30, nobody around, it's cool, I still wear my mask. Why? Because I want to be in the habit of putting my mask when I leave. I don't want to walk out and forget it. And just because I don't see anybody at 6:30 in the morning, there could have been somebody gone by a couple of minutes before me. He may be around the block. So, I intend to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. I intend to do my very best in terms of prayer for this country. And Pastor James is going to talk more about patriotism and this country and warfare in a few minutes.